The following podcast is from Tabernacle Baptist Church in Cartersville, Georgia. Thanks for listening.
Church family, I want to invite you to find your place in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And this morning, we're going to start there, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 13. I'm continuing this morning a series of messages entitled Parent Like God. And we're looking at four foundations for godly parenting drawn from Scripture and drawn from this Heavenly Father metaphor we see in Scripture. In the world in which we live, parenting is indeed complex and difficult, but thanks be to God, our Almighty God relates to us as Heavenly Father. And so in life, when we need information and guidance and how to parent, we can look to how our Heavenly Father relates to us. Now, we all know that at best, parenting is hard. There are many reasons this is true. One, we live in a fallen world where temptations, distractions, and deceptions abound. In addition, we are all finite people. None of us knows it all. We lack in our understanding and wisdom at times. None is perfect. None knows all things. And so when it comes to parenting, we need help. We need insight. We need instruction. Now, what's sad about this is that within our society, there is so little help when it comes to parenting. There's more to bring harm and hurt than there is to bring help. Sandra Wilson, a Christian counselor, in her book, Hurt People, Hurt People, a great book to read, she talks about how our family of origins many times bring dysfunction into our lives, and many times our family of origin and the way we're raised can bring negative things throughout our lives. And so the aim of her book is to help people overcome some of those things. But in speaking about parenting, she makes this observation: most people receive more instruction for driving a car than for becoming a parent. No wonder even the most loving parents flounder and fail from time to time. Fortunately, we in Scripture have truth. We have authoritative instruction from our Heavenly Father. So throughout this sermon series, I don't pretend to be an expert. I'm not an expert. But I do stand with the Word of God in my hand, and I do stand with this Heavenly Father metaphor that is given in Scripture that can serve as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. You see, in life, if we want to know how to parent, we only need to look to the Heavenly Father metaphor in Scripture. Remember in Matthew 6:9, when Jesus taught us how to pray, he taught us to pray, Matthew 6:9, our Father in heaven. We have this metaphor, a Heavenly Father. God relates to us. He parents us, if you will. And when we need to know how to parent or grandparent, when we need to know how to give advice to others in parenting, we can look to this Heavenly Father metaphor. Now the question is, what does this metaphor teach us? And this morning I would propose that the Lord's love for humankind is perhaps the most paramount trait found within this metaphor. The Lord has an unfailing disposition of love, grace, and kindness towards us. And his disposition of love teaches us that love is a hallmark, a foundation of godly parenting. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, we read these words. Now these three remain: faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Love is the greatest of all Christian virtues. And when you think about the Lord, you should think about love. Now, in this series, Parent Like God, we're talking about four realities that come from this Heavenly Father metaphor. One of them is love. We're talking about that this morning. Next week, we'll talk about relationship. Number three, we'll talk about instruction. Number four, we'll talk about correction. These are four pillars of godly parenting, if you will, all drawn from the Heavenly Father metaphor. Let's focus on this subject of love this morning. God's love is a game changer. It has the power to transform every domain of our life, and our parenting is of no exception. The Heavenly Father metaphor teaches us that to parent like God, we should first pursue after a holy and healthy type of love for our children. All of our attempts at raising kids should be grounded in a love similar to the type of love God has for us. Now the question is, what's involved with this love? What does the Bible say about this love? What truth from Scripture, God's Word, can we gain about this love that will help us in our attempts at parenting? I would propose this morning four biblical truths about love in relation to parenting. Follow along in your listening outline, or if you take notes, if you don't do any of those things, just listen up, all right? And number one, we see from Scripture that God is love. God is love. It's so important that we start here because many parents nowadays in America would give a hearty amen to the fact that there ought to be love in parenting. However, many parents who champion love in parenting are embracing ungodly forms of so-called love. They are aiming to love their children. They even pat themselves on the back that they're loving their children, but they're not loving their children as God would have them love their children. They're buying into cheap, watered-down, worldly forms of love, and they're cutting their proverbial legs out from underneath them in their parenting because they start with a cheap, twisted, and perverted form of love that's not really grounded in God. So when we talk about love, we have to start here. God is love. Turn in your Bible to 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 8. And in this passage of Scripture, we see some strong words about the nature of Christian love. The Bible there says, "The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love." The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. The Apostle John wrote these words in the first century to believers scattered in churches throughout a region of the world known as Asia Minor. He wrote these words because there was a false teaching infiltrating churches that placed a premium on a so-called special knowledge. False teachers boasted that they had super spiritual insight that other Christians, even the Apostle John, didn't have. These false teachers at the same time were known for rather unloving behavior. They boasted of the gospel. They boasted of Christian truth. They boasted of Christian love, but they really didn't possess Christian love. John sought to reorient them with the real nature of Christian charity by giving this simple, profound statement: God is love. If you want to define Christian love, you must look to God. The true nature of true love is found in Him. He is the dictionary that defines love. You see, in our world nowadays, there are parents who would boast of loving their children. They would give a hearty amen to what I'm saying this morning. But like the heretics and the churches to which John wrote, they have a misconception of true love for their children. Some in the name of love are engaged in what we could call selfish parenting. They say they love their children. They indeed have some sort of heart affection towards their children, but all of their parenting is driven by a desire to see the parents' dreams fulfilled through the children. This isn't the love God desires in our parenting. Some are driven by what I would call not just selfish parenting, but fearful parenting. Such parents indeed have a heart regard for their children, but they're afraid to instruct their children. They're afraid to correct their children. They're like Samson's parents of old we talked about last week. They're afraid to flatly tell their children the truth and raise them in the ways of the Lord. The fear of man is a snare, but the one who trusts in the Lord is safe. There's selfish parenting, there's fearful parenting, there's also what I would call broken parenting. There are parents who indeed want to love their children, they want to have affectionate regard for their kids, but they haven't allowed Jesus to fix the hole in their heart. And as they approach parenting, they have unresolved emotional issues. Did you know this? A key in biblical parenting is for parents to help their children become emotionally strong. Parents are given by the Lord to teach their children many things. And one of the things parents are to teach their children is this: how to emotionally process things in life. But some parents are unable to do this because they're emotionally broken themselves. Broken parenting. This can keep one from truly loving children. There's also what I would call number four, compromised parenting. This is parenting, and we see a lot of it nowadays, in which the children are running the house. There is that age-old role reversal from the Garden of Eden. And the parents exist for the kids. And this goes against God's design. And this keeps parents many times from having a holy and healthy love for their children that is grounded in God and His love. God is love, so all of our attempts at loving our children must start with God. God is the dictionary that gives the definition for love. Scripture, on one occasion, there was a rebuke for some disciples, in which it was said, "You say that you love me, but you do not obey me." And know this, there can be professions of love that are not grounded in truth. We must start with God when it comes to our love and parenting. God is love. Secondly, this morning, we need to see this truth. Love is most important. I invite you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want to draw your attention to a very important passage of Scripture there. Deuteronomy chapter 6. As we talk about love and parenting, it's worthy to pause and remember that love is indeed the most important of all Christian virtues. Jesus was once asked, Matthew 22:36, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, Matthew 22:37-39, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." We call this the great commandment. Some Christians mistakenly believe that Jesus invented that teaching and that his teaching concerning love was detached from Old Testament truth. Some mistakenly viewed the Old Testament as this antiquated book with killing and harsh laws, and God, they believe, when he sent Jesus, intended to totally wipe away the Old Testament and bring about this kind of new thing in Jesus. And such people in modern Christianity believe in Christ. There are no laws. There are no rules. The Ten Commandments have been done away with. God's just all about love. And in such a view, they twist the love of God. Such a view, hear me, is based on a misunderstanding of Scripture. When you read the Bible, you find that God has always called his people to first and foremost love him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Such things do not wipe away his law or do away with his moral code of how humans are to live, because his moral code for humanity is based on his nature. And to change his moral code for humanity, he would have to change his very character, and God cannot change his character. This law of love does not do away with God's moral law. It is simply the means through which one obeys God's moral law. You see, when you look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4, you find that even under the Mosaic law, God instructed the Israelites, love. Love is primary. Love is the priority. Said in Deuteronomy 6:4, a passage Jews called the Shema, listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Verse 5, look in your Bible. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. In every dispensation of God's dealing with humanity, we find that humanity, in order to know God and obey God and live for God, is to first direct their attentions towards cherishing the Lord above all else in life. James called this the royal law. Now, what do these things tell us when it comes to parenting? Well, look again in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 5. And if you continue in verse 6, you find that the Shema had a unique relationship to parenting. In fact, this foundational teaching concerning God's law, love, the love of God in Deuteronomy 6:4, was linked with foundational teaching for how Israelites were to raise their children. Right after saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, the Lord through Moses said, these words that I'm giving you today are to be in your heart. Verse 7, repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Oh, Christian, you're to live your life by the law of love. The great commandment, Matthew 22, 37 through 40, is to be the driving force and focus in your life. And these things have application for every domain of your life, your finances, your work ethic, your marriage, your relationships with others, your service in this church, your presence here on the Lord's Day, Sunday. These things, the law of love, have application for every domain of life. And parenting is no exception. By making love our main priority, we can have our feet on solid ground that will help us parent as the Lord would have us to parent. We can parent like God, loving with a holy and healthy type of love that leads our children to the Lord and to His truth. Love is most important. Number three this morning, I'd have you see this from Scripture. Love is at the heart of parenting. I invite you to find your place in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. I want you to see some very important words from the Apostle Paul. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle is speaking about the end of time, the end of the age. And he described the character of the last days. You read these words, you almost get this sense that, man, Scripture is true because this is the atmosphere of our age. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Paul said, know this, hard times will come in the last days. For people will be lovers of self. Selfies. lovers of money, boastful, proud, demeaning, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy. Look at verse 3, first word in the verse, unloving. Everybody say that word, unloving. Now, each week I take my sermon notes, my sermon manuscript, my outline, and the listening outline in your bulletin, and I send it to my administrative assistant, Lori Shadle, who's here this morning in this room, in this service, and she proofs. And when the ladies at the church look over my outline sometimes, one thing they'll do is make sure there's no, you know, grammatical errors or anything that needs, the spelling needs to be changed. Another thing they'll do is make sure that the Bible verses we're listening on those outlines seem to line up with the point in the sermon. You know, because sometimes I accidentally put the wrong scripture reference. So this past week, Lori mentioned, verse 3 doesn't seem to go with your point. And I got her point. It doesn't seem to go with my point when we say love is at the heart of parenting, and then we read of children being disobedient to parents, and we read this word unloving. Why do I share this word here? Why do I share this verse? Why this word unloving? Interestingly, in the Greek language in which your New Testament was written, there were a number of words in the Greek language to speak of love. The language was more precise. You see, nowadays we use the word love for all types of things. I love my wife. I love pizza. I love the weather outside. The Greeks had more words, more precise words for love. In fact, New York Life, the insurance company, during the Super Bowl in 2020, ran an ad that highlighted the different Greek words for love. There was agape love that spoke of the love of God in the New Testament, and agape love was a love based on a conscientious choice wherein one, by the act of a will, chose to put another before him or herself. Agape love. There was Philadelphia love. We know that is love between brothers, brotherly love. There was eros or erotic love, the love that would exist between maybe a husband and wife, love in romance. Here in 2 Timothy 3:3, when you see this word unloving, Paul didn't use any of those words. Instead, he used the Greek word storge. Storge. Everybody say that word, storge. You just learned a Greek word today. Storge. Take off the A off the end of that word and you get storg. Or think stork. Stork. That's the big bird in European mythology that delivered the babies, right? A stork. The myth concerning the stork that delivered the babies. The name for that bird came from this Greek word stork, storge. This word referred to what was known as a family type of love, a love that should exist between parents and their children, a love that should exist amongst brothers and sisters. Notice the context of Paul's words. He was talking about parenting. He spoke of the way in which, in the last way, there would be a growth of disobedience on the part of children towards their parents. And then he turned right around and spoke of how in the last days there would be a decrease in family type of love. Paul's words were intended as an indictment. In any generation throughout human history, it should be thought strange when parents don't show appropriate affection towards their children. Such is true because love is at the heart of parenting. Love is at the heart of parenting. Jesus seemed to indicate in Matthew 7, 9 through 11, that love is to be at the heart of parenting. When talking about how he relates to us, when talking about his role as our Heavenly Father, when talking about how he gladly answers our prayers as our Heavenly Father, he said, "Who among you," Matthew 7, 9 through 11, "if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Notice Jesus, in just a matter-of-fact way, assumed parents should have a healthy and holy love for their children. And such love can have a powerful effect. When children really know they're cherished in a holy and healthy way, not a dysfunctional way, when children know that they are loved in a holy and healthy way, it can have a powerful effect to lead them in the ways of the Lord. Think about that story of the prodigal son. You know that story, right? Luke chapter 15. This young man has a wealthy father, and he's ready to break free from his father's leadership. He wants to cut a streak and go out on his own, and he demands of his father, "Father, give me my inheritance." And the father gives him his inheritance, and the son leaves the family farm, and he goes out and wastes all of his inheritance on riotous living, indulging the lust of the eyes and the lust of flesh. And it's not too long before he spent all of that inheritance, and he's broke as a joke. Nowhere to go. He finds another farm to work at, but it's not the farm of his father. It's a farm of a stranger. The stranger doesn't pay as well and give as good of accommodations. And one day, while the prodigal son is working on the farm, he becomes hungry, but he's got nothing to eat. He can't go and just ask bread because he's working for his wages. He's working for his food. And he gets so low down that he has to eat slop from the trough that was used to feed pigs. But it's in that moment that he was reminded of the great holy and healthy love of his father. And he said in Luke 15, 18, "I will get up and go to my father." Oh, get this, Christians. Get this, parents. Get this, grandparents. There's a world tugging at the souls and the minds of your children and grandchildren. And it's going to seem like at times if you stand up for truth, if you stand up for the word of God, that you might run your children off. You might scare them away from the things of God. Oh, don't compromise. Don't pervert God's truth. Don't give in to the spirit of this age. Stand with the truth of God. Stand up for the Lord's day. Stand up for the gospel. All along, however, love your children. And who knows, such love may one day bring a prodigal home. William Chantry, in his great little booklet called The Sabbath a Delight, he spoke of the need for parents to raise their children in the truth of God. And he talked about how important it is, though you uphold the law of God, you are loving as a parent, because such love many times will beckon children to follow the law of God. He said parents must be aware of this with their children. There must be an atmosphere of love and kindness and rejoicing in the Lord if children are adults or to want to keep God's law. And if children depart from God, memories of the happiness of the house will many times do much to bring them back. Love is at the heart of parenting. Let's look at one final truth this morning, and I would say this about this love that is used by God in Christian parenting. Number four, I would say, love is produced by God's power. We say a lot about love. We've said a lot about love this morning, but we have to ask how. How can I love as God loved? If you're like me, you realize in and of yourself, you have little strength to embody and display the type of love the Heavenly Father has for us. Have you ever struggled with impatience towards your children? Do you wrestle with competing priorities in life that distract you from loving your children as you ought? Are you guilty of giving your children the leftovers of your time and attention? Do you sometimes find yourself more consumed with the cares of this world than the needs of your children. Perhaps you need a revival of godly love in your soul towards your children. Be aware, Scripture speaks of how with the Holy Spirit, the Lord promised to turn the hearts of the Father towards their children. Sometimes parents need a spiritual awakening where the heart is filled with holy and healthy love towards their kids. If you stand in need of such a thing, realize it is the gospel that brings such love to your heart. By yourself, you are a broken, imperfect, sinful human being. But thanks be to God, the great God of the universe loves us so much that he sent his son Jesus to die as a sin offering for our sins. Jesus hung on the cruel cross of Calvary, experiencing the death you deserve because of all of your transgressions. And Jesus was raised so that the old man, the old woman in your life might be put to death, and so that the Spirit of God might inhabit your soul so that you might live a new type of life in Christ. Oh, salvation is for the here and after, Christian, but salvation is also for the here and now. If you are in Christ, the old person has passed away. Behold, all things are new. And Paul told the Romans in Romans 5:5, God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So when you got saved, you were forgiven of all of your sins. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit came to live within your soul. And with the Holy Spirit coming to live within your soul, the love of God came to live within your soul. So though sometimes in life you may not feel like loving, if you will learn to live by the Spirit, if you will follow Christ and abide in him, God will make his love supernaturally, mysteriously grow in your heart and mind. Romans 5:5, God's love has been poured in our heart through the Holy Spirit. And Galatians 5:22 teaches us that love is the first fruit of the Spirit. It is my walk with God wherein I die to self and surrender my priorities, my schedule, my agenda, and my dreams to him. It is that walk with God that makes love grow in my heart. So if I want to parent well and love my children, not in this dysfunctional, worldly way, this love that so many parents have, wherein they're pushing their kids to success and overburdening them and making them just way too busy with all of these activities, all in the name of the American dream. It's not love. You're wearing your children out. Be on guard. If we really want to have a holy and healthy type of love, we need God through his Spirit to wake up the church and to move in our hearts, souls, and minds and give us his heart, his values, his truth. Oh, I pray for this church regularly, the words of the psalmist. Lord, would you not revive us again so that we might rejoice in you? And may we pray something similar over our Christian homes. Oh, Lord, would you revive our hearts and give us pure priorities, pure desires? Would you turn the hearts of parents towards their children so that they would lovingly bring them up in the straight and narrow ways of the Lord? Oh, we need this pure love. How can we see it produced in our lives? Let me close with giving you three tips. Number one, or letter A in your outline, I would say this: pray for love. Mark 9:29, Jesus told his disciples on one occasion in which they tried to heal a demon-possessed boy. This type comes out only by prayer and fasting. And listen, the love of God's not going to grow in your heart if you're not talking to God. If you want love to grow, do what I do. Many times I go into my prayer time, and as I'm praying for my children, one of my first prayers is, oh Lord, give me a heart of love for your children, wherein I have your heart towards them, the heart you would want me to have. Pray for love, and the Holy Spirit of God can move in your soul and give you the real pure type of heart towards your children you ought to have. Letter B, I would say this: remove competing distractions. Look at your schedule and you'll learn what you really love. If you want to know what you truly love, look at your budget and what you spend money on, because Jesus said, where your heart is, your treasure will be also. And let's be honest, many parents in the 21st century scene are too busy and too distracted. Demands and desires associated with work, entertainment, social media, and hobbies keep many from embodying the parental love God desires. If you realize you don't cherish your kids in a holy and healthy way, take inventory of your life. Maybe you need to close some social media accounts for the sake of your children. Maybe your children aren't the only ones that need screen time. Are there certain hobbies that need to be put on hold until your children are raised? One of the most instructive things I heard when my children were first being born, I was talking about going out to play softball and golf on the weekend, and a man, he wasn't trying to criticize me, he just said, yeah, I used to do all that, but then I made a commitment that I wouldn't do any of that until my kids were raised. Now, I'm not beating you up if you play golf or softball or anything like that. Don't get to thinking about all that. I just made a decision at that point in my life. There are some things that are going to go on hold so that my children have my full attention. Could it be that some of your other relationships in life are stealing time from your kids? Remove competing distractions. And letter C, I would say this, lead your heart to love through practical action. Sometimes you got to act your way into feeling. That happens in romance, right? If Laura and I sometimes are feeling a little bit on edge with one another, I might say it's time for us to take a date. We need to spend some time with one another and give place for love. For love to grow, you sometimes have to act yourself into feeling. That is, you have to be intentional to put another before yourself. So when it comes to parenting, make sure you're carving out time for your kids. Real time, meaningful time, bonding time. Do things with them. Do a project together. Play board games together. Take individual kids on daddy-daughter dates or mother-son outings or boys' outings or girl outings. Make memories and bond over those memories. Plan times for meaningful conversations. Take them out for a coffee or a tea or a Coca-Cola or a honey bun or a donut or whatever. And ask questions. How are you doing? I like to do this. Who are your friends? What are their names? Tell me about them. Little PBI, Parental Bureau of Investigation. As you are intentional to put your focus on your kids in these ways, you'll bond and love will grow. And as you're walking in the Word and being a person of prayer and fighting sin and dying to self in your own life and then loving your children from a holy and healthy posture of your relationship with the Lord, God will love sanctified love, not the perverted, twisted parental love that's out there. He'll use sanctified love many times to win the hearts of your children and to lead them in the ways of the Lord.
For more information, visit us online at tabernaclebaptist.org. Thanks for listening.